you people can tell me to stop. Lower the lights down, hand over my crown, hand over my heart. I do this for my town, I do this for my crowd. So turn me up real loud. My time, my time. None of you people can tell me to stop.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for listening to Next Gen Radio. This is episode number 157, and I am your host, Mike Ercolano, today with my co-host and head coach at Next Generation Training Center, John Esposito.
Hello, hello.
In this episode of Ask Next Gen, we are going to bring you three questions that are either submitted via email, which if you have a question, you could send that to ask@nextgenradiopodcast.com or ask by one of our members while they're here working out in the gym. So let's get into the first question, considering that we are now going to be less than a week away from Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. The first question came in, and it was asked, why do I get so tired after eating Thanksgiving dinner?
So we were actually talking about this earlier, so I want to shut out the one misconception is that we have tryptophan, which it does. Tryptophan is it B3?
I'm not even sure, to be honest.
It's a vitamin that is necessary in the uptake of niacin, which is another vitamin B, and then also for what's it called? Oh my God, I'm having a blank right now. Melatonin. Mm-hmm. So, if you eat something that's heavy in tryptophan, which in this case is turkey, which is a staple on Thanksgiving dinners, a lot of people thought that you would get a spike of tryptophan, which means you're going to spike the uptake of melatonin, which makes you tired and want to go to sleep. The evidence and research has shown that's completely nonsense, but not completely nonsense, but it's not fully what it is. A lot of times it's just because your blood flow is getting diverted to your stomach and your digestive system, and it's not getting put everywhere else. So your brain has a lot less blood flow going in there, which means a lot less oxygen, a lot less going on. So you tend to get tired.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's, excuse me. Yep. That's a big part of it. And I'm glad you led off with that tryptophan. It's kind of, that old wives' tale. It's a misconception that, you get tired because of the tryptophan. Now, yes, there is a hormonal response to tryptophan, and it may cause some little drowsiness, but most people crash after dinner because they've just completely gouged themselves mm-hmm. with way too many carbs, way too many calories, all that sugar and fat and butter and all that dense, heavy food that you probably went into a caloric surplus just through that one meal alone for probably like 3 days.
For the most part.
Most people end up crashing and getting really tired because think about what you do all day. You sit around, you talk, you probably have a couple drinks, even if you don't have a couple drinks, but most people have, even if it's just a glass of wine or two, and then they eat a super high caloric meal that's, again, filled with fat and sugar, and it's not like you're eating just like lean turkey and some veggies and that's it.
You got your stuffing, you have your gravy, it's everything is just hearty and hefty that sits in the stomach, and it's all heavy calories,
right? And it's again, it's a huge meal that you're not used to. Usually I hope you're not eating that big of a meal all the time, and so you end up consuming all these calories, and your body has these spikes and peaks and valleys in the blood sugar, which plays a role in it, but it's just basically the fact that you've just consumed so much food and so many, so much mixture of that carbs and fat and sugar and all that, that your body ends up crashing from it. And so you sit around and you eat and you talk, and then you sit on the couch afterwards, and most people end up nodding off and falling asleep because, frankly, you're just putting way too much into your system. So your body will respond by doing that, it's like that mid-afternoon, fatigue, that tiredness that people get after lunch, mm-hmm. right? Especially if you work a regular 9-to-5 type job, and then you probably don't eat breakfast, or you just have like coffee and a donut while running out the door or whatever, and then you eat a big meal at lunch, and then you come back after lunch and you get tired and you crash while at your desk. It's the same thing. It's a combination of not only the fluctuating blood sugar, but also the fact that you just went from 0 to 1,000 when it comes to eating that meal. So you sit around and eat all day, and you drink all day, and you don't really do much exercise, you're going to end up getting tired. So it's not the tryptophan. It's probably the extra large meal with the not so healthy choices.
I would agree.
So if you want to avoid that, lower your portions. Only eat until you're about 80% full. Try to stick to like one portion of the not so healthy food, like the mashed potatoes are fine, but it's when you put the butter and salt on it. You know, the sweet potatoes are fine, but it's when you put the marshmallows and honey or syrup or whatever. You know, so like if you're going to not just have just like a, you know, straight up mashed potatoes, if you're going to have all the gravy and stuff on it, if you're going to have the sweet potatoes, if you're going to, you know, have the turkey with the gravy, you're going to have all the toppings with the sides and whatever, the sides with the toppings, not the toppings with the sides, the sides with the toppings. Like green beans are great. They're not great when you make a green bean casserole, right? Like, so like keep the portion smaller. Don't eat until like you're completely stuffed and full and bloated. Stop when you're about 80% full, and just know that you probably are going to be a little fatigued. Maybe try to get up and go out and play some football, right? Is that still a tradition on Thanksgiving?
I mean, we never really had enough people to play football, but I feel like it's still a tradition for a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't know. We never really did it either. My family wasn't really, like, we wouldn't go in the backyard and play football, but I feel like that's just like an American tradition thing,
I
right?
feel like we would at least go out for a walk, though. We used to always go for a walk, go around a couple blocks.
Yep, it's a great way to kind of combat that, especially right after a meal, right? It'll help regulate all your hormones again after eating. It'll help Absolutely. The digestion process, and it'll make sure that you're not, you know, too tired. You're going to be tired. It is what it is. It's part of the game. Just don't overdo it, and you shouldn't crash too hard. So,
perfect.
All right, question number two. This came in actually this morning from one of our members, and she asked, how do you train seniors differently? Now, by seniors, we mean senior citizens, not seniors in high school. Just wanted to clarify. So how do you train senior citizens differently? And, you know, we do have a large majority of senior citizens, I guess, are considered a senior after like 55 or something like that, 65.
Yeah, I don't know. I personally consider after 65. I feel like 55 is cutting people a little too early.
Very young, right? Very, even nowadays, I mean, 65, there's 65-year-olds in here that look like they're 30.
This is true. Absolutely.
So it is getting better. But anyway, so how do you train seniors differently?
So we can take a couple different approaches at this one, but a lot of times it's not, I wouldn't say it's dumbed down, but it's just simplified. We simplify a lot of the things. A lot more concentration on stability work, on, we start off a lot more isometrics, getting everybody stable, knowing how to use their muscles properly, knowing where their joint positions are supposed to be. And a lot of time it incorporates second pieces of equipment. So if people are doing goblet squat, a big goblet squat to a box or a goblet squat to a bench, something that allows them to kind of reset their vestibular system and get their balance back. Depending on how old somebody is, a lot of times we use a secondary piece of equipment like a TRX, and sometimes we don't even go past that point, but it's just based off their based off the ability. When it comes to the cardio side of things, a lot of times it's just toned down a little bit. We concentrate a little bit more on the heart rate. We try to do a talk test while they're in the middle of a session, so come up, talk to them, make sure they can still have a conversation with us. There should be a couple times when we have to stop and take those big breaths, but that's really what we look for. Anything past that, we have some pretty strong senior citizens in a gym. We have some senior citizens that are lifting well over 150, 160 pounds on a trap bar deadlift, mm-hmm. getting close to 100 pounds on their bench press and consistently working out four times a week. So it's kind of hard to answer a question in an hour side of things, but a lot of times just goes back to simplify things. But we don't want to make sure we're not babying them either.
Right. Yeah, it's just like we probably could say about most of these questions is it depends, right? Just like every person's different, every senior is different. But generally speaking, if we think about the 65-year-old who probably has not been in a weight room or a gym for a long time, they haven't done strength training in a mm-hmm. long time, you know, we just, like John said, simplified things. We focus on different things in the beginning, or a lesser approach in terms of being concerned about how much, you know, effort they're putting, how much strength they're putting, but more about working on the balance, the stability, the form, you know, getting the body to move. You know, if somebody hasn't been training in a long time, chances are, as you get older, it gets harder and harder to put on muscle. So mm-hmm. let's say you haven't trained in 30, 40 years and you're over 60. It's going to be difficult to put on muscle. So it's just a slow and steady approach to it. And just having realistic goals, you know, someone coming in I don't think I've met someone who's, you know, 60, 65 who came in and said, I want six pack abs and 5% body fat. And I want to look like I'm 30. Yep. Like,
most times it's, I want to just move better, be able to get on, up and off the floor comfortably. Right. And
right. So that's really the goal is, you know, first and foremost is to keep them safe, mm-hmm. right? You know, if you haven't worked out in a long time, it could, you know, potentially, I mean, anything you do physically, there's obviously some inherent danger to it. But if you haven't trained in a long time, then starting slowly and keeping you safe is the most important thing. But just building off of each individual's strengths and working on their weaknesses. Like most seniors have some trouble balancing. They have a goal of getting up and down off the ground without needing to lean on something. They want to come in, they want to be pain free and be able to play with their grandkids and hang out with their kids and not wake up with some energy and not feel like they're just wasting the day away. Like they want to be able to be happy and healthy, and just like younger people, they just have honestly a probably better approach to fitness because they understand that it's more about how you feel than how you look. So they're really isn't a huge difference in terms of how you train someone who's a senior citizen versus someone who is new coming to the gym. It's just a matter of if someone's a little bit younger, they could probably make some adaptations a little bit quicker, so their programming could progress a little faster. But
absolutely,
other than that, there's not too much of a difference. And again, like John said, and I like to reiterate, is having conversations during the workout, making sure that they're not overexerting, because especially if you've been pretty stagnant for a while, you don't want to come in and do like a HIIT class and then blow your heart up, right? Like, so being able to just keep a closer eye, a little bit more monitoring them. But other than that, I think it's pretty similar. It's just different levels of training, that's all.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, before we move on from that, there are some differences in terms of the safety side of it. As you get older, there's the bone density issue. Mm-hmm. Yes, we know that in women, but also men, especially if they haven't done resistance training, bone density does decrease, muscle mass decreases as you get older just naturally. So it is important to make sure that if you are a senior, you are giving feedback to your coaches and giving feedback to your trainers to let them know how you're feeling, so that you can be tailored to you, so that you don't get hurt and you can continue to train and make gains, make progress while in the gym.
That's a great note.
So, all right, moving on. Number three, can you give me the best advice for improving a weak body part?
All right, so I feel like I take a lot different approach than a lot of people would on this one. Most times when I would ask any of my friends who are trainers or just some other trainers I know, it goes back to isolation, working on first being able to activate the muscle and identify the muscle, which those are definitely some of the biggest things you can work on. But a lot of times I notice if people can't stabilize the entire limb of whatever part of the body it is, you have no chance of activating a muscle. So a lot of times people who can't feel their, let's say a tricep on a tricep extension, a lot of that has to do with where their shoulder positioning is and how their shoulder sits and how the body is holding onto the shoulder. And if you can get them to support their shoulder and be able to maintain positions, triceps will be able to activate a lot better because they're in position for the tricep to have the most use. A lot of times we talk about glutes. Glutes are probably the sleepiest muscle we can talk about, or just the most identified weak, mm-hmm. quote unquote, weak muscle. And a lot of it just comes down to positioning. And that's at least the first approach we take. And then once you can find and identify the muscle, you work on isolated movement for the muscles. So in case of the glutes, be a lot of bridge holds specifically, because being able to actively and consciously control and contract the muscle is huge to that. And then we can build off of those things. So it comes back to slow progression, working from baseline, working on finding the muscle first, then working on being able to activate the muscle consciously, then being able to slowly progress in the more difficult exercises that contract the muscle and get into eccentric stages as well. So you have to be able to turn off the muscle as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that approach. And, I love the fact that you take a different approach than a lot of people. And that's why I do believe that you are one of the best trainers around. You just don't get the exposure that big names like Boyle and, Jordan Franco or whatever, they get big names because they work with, professional athletes. But, you're extremely smart, and that there's just kind of a, an off the record or on the record, but off topic type thing. But so I do appreciate you taking a different approach, and I agree with the approach you take, because if you have a weak body part, chances are chances are to check out first is the positioning, right? If you can't get in the right position because of some sort of anatomical imbalance or inability to activate because it's shut off because you can't get in the right position, you know, that's the first place to start. And, you know, I think that's genius. When I got this question, I was thinking more of the along the lines of, like, if you have like a left arm that, you know, bench presses or curls less than the other arm, right? So my mind immediately went to ways to get one side stronger, a little bit stronger. And it's something I personally deal with is, you know, my left side is weaker than my right.
That is consistently a struggle of mine as well.
Yeah. And look, everybody, nobody's going to be perfectly even, you know, everyone's going to have a weaker and stronger side. But then when it starts to really affect your workouts and your lifts, you got to, you know, close that gap and try to make it stronger. So I personally like to just do a little bit more volume on the weaker side if it is like a single-sided issue, single-sided exercise. Like, we'll just use bench press, for example. So if you're doing a single-arm bench press with a dumbbell, you know, and I could bang out 10 on my right side but only 8 on my left side, what I would do is I would hit my set of 8 on my left side, do my 10 on my right side, and then come back and double the amount on the left side. So, for example, I would do 8, 10, that means there's a 2-rep difference between the two sides. So then I would finish the set with 4 on my left side. So I'm getting actual, you know, 50% more out of that left side. And that, for me, has helped a lot with closing the gap. It's never going to be perfect.
Yeah.
But being able to just add a little bit extra volume onto the weaker side has helped me. And has helped my clients.
And
as
I think that's the approach. It's probably the best approach you can take for doing something like that too, because you really do need to work on the volume. And it always comes down to, it's just because you haven't used that side a lot or mm-hmm. as frequently. And when it comes to specifically like the biceps and pecs or anything like that, most of us favor one side of our body and we utilize that side of a body a lot more. And we tend to strengthen that side a lot more through our daily actions. So. Right. You do have to get the repetition in there, and a lot of it has to do with what you do in the gym, because most times it's not going to happen outside of the gym.
Right, right. But if you're not in the right anatomical position and your body's not sending the right neurological signal to that muscle group to start off how, or to add on to how you started this conversation, it doesn't matter. You could do all the volume you want on your weak side. You're just going to go right back to, you know, having that shut off if you can't get into the right position.
That's completely true.
Yeah. All right. I just see your clients walking in, so we'll wrap it up here. Do you have any final thoughts, John?
No, I like the Thanksgiving question specifically because I was actually having that conversation with my parents just a few days ago. So.
Oh, nice. Yes. Well, do they think it's tryptophan?
Yeah, they always heard about tryptophan mm-hmm. and that the turkey had such high levels of it and it made you sleepy because of something that your yep. body attracts. And I was like, nope, it's mm-hmm. not that.
It's funny because I feel like I have that conversation every year at the Thanksgiving table.
It has to be.
I mean, you know, the older you get, the more you're stuck in your ways you are. So like my family are always like, oh, tryptophan. I'm like, I repeat myself every year, it's not tryptophan, but whatever. If that's what you want to believe, that's what you want to believe. Our listeners won't believe that.
No.
Because they're listening to the show and they know the truth.
Absolutely.
So, we appreciate everyone listening. I will be back next Tuesday. John will not be back before Thanksgiving, so John, wish him a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
but I will be back with Kelly next Tuesday for another episode of Next Gen Radio. And until then, thank you for listening and be well. Thank you for listening to the Next Gen Radio podcast. If you got any value out of this episode, can you please do us a favor and help us grow our audience by subscribing and leaving us a 5-star review on your preferred podcast platform? If you live in the Randolph, New Jersey area, we have a special gift just for our listeners. Get 7 days of our Platinum Personal Training Package at NextGen for free. To claim your free 7 days, click the link in our show notes, fill out all of your information, and one of our certified personal trainers will contact you ASAP.